Okay, good. Fine. Let's learn. Okay, chaver, tonight is Hoyd Shabinetzach. Hoyd Shabinetzach. So we need to understand this entire week as a time of Netzach for the purposes of having not to translate every time, because I don't know all the chaver that are listening, that are watching. Netzach means essentially two things. Netzach means nitzchius, something which is forever. Nitzchius. The netzach nitzachim. And netzach means also nitzachim, to win, to be victorious. So those are the basic definitions of netzach. With that, let's begin. I think the Mishnah, everybody knows, the Mishnah is in Perek Yavis, Perek Gimel. Akavya ben Menhalalom Oimer. So the Tanya says, the Tzaddik says, that a Jew should always look at these three things. And if you contemplate these three things, you'll be good. You'll be good. You'll be a good boy, a good girl. You should know where you come from, where you come from. And where you're going to. And before whom you're going to have to give an accounting of your life. And then strangely, the Mishnah goes again and says, Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? A tipasrucha, a putrid trap. Lana tahailach, and where are you going? L'mokam ofer v'rima v'teleah, to the grave. Before whom are you going to have to give an accounting? Now, the Kushan Samagit Schuski Elena, and really the root of this goes back to the Ari HaKadosh, are asking this question: why do we need to have a Reisha over here that says, look at these three things? Without telling us what they are and where we're going and where we come from. And then at the end of the Mishnah, where do you come from? The disgusting drop. Where are you going? To the grave, and so on. Now with their explanation, with Arizal and the Kushan Samagid, their explanation put a lot of pessimistic, depressing people out of business. Because this Mishnah, taken at face value, is obviously very hard. That we should be walking around thinking all of our lives about the grave, about the filth that we come from, and so on. But in the world of the Ari HaKadosh and the world of the Baal Shem Tov, this, the Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, and the end of the Mishnah, talking about two different worlds, mamish. Two different ways of life, two different ways of thinking. The Reisha that begins and says, Stam, look at these three things. Me'ayin basa, do you know where you come from? You come from the Infinite One Himself. Your neshama is infinite. Your neshama comes from the one who is Ein Sof, the Ein Tachlis. Your neshama is mamish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. Ula ana tahailach? And where are you going? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where your neshama is headed for? Do you know that your neshama goes on and on beyond this world and to higher and higher levels of Dveikas Hashem? Do you know that? And do you know that you're going to be, at the end, you're going to be in the presence of Hashem? Always with Hashem, connected to Hashem. That's the Reisha. That's the first part of the mission. In other words, the first part of the mission, according to the Rizal, is talking to the neshama. Is talking to the person that you and I really want to be. Is talking to the essential Chaim Aish. The essential person, the essence of who we are. May I in Basa, A world of nitzchis, a world that's forever, a world that comes from Hashem himself, and it's heading back to Hashem. What about the Sefer? The end of the Mishnah then says, but listen, Chevra, there's another part of life. This other part of life comes from something which is a putrid drop. We're talking about the body. And where is it going to? It's going back into the earth, and it's going to disintegrate. It's going to be eaten by the worms. So what the Tana is saying is, there are two perspectives that a human being can have in life. There are two ways that you can look at life, and two ways that you can live. A person who lives with the histaklus of the Reisha, a person who lives with that perspective, with that mindset of the Reisha, all of his life is one ongoing binyan of nitzchis. I come from something which is forever, which is eternal. I come from something which transcends this world, which is higher than anything. That's where I come from. And that's where I'm headed. And through the course of my life, I'm going to invest my kaichas. I'm going to invest myself into building something that is eternal, to build a life of nitzchis, a life that is bigger than a putrid drop, bigger than the grave and the worms, a life of netzach, of nitzchis. The other choice is, if my main investment is going to be in the end of the Mishnah, meaning my life is a life of the guf, I invest my kaiches into my physical existence. That's, in other words, that's the focal point of my life. There's no nitzchias. I come from something that is finite, that's worthless. I'm going to end up by a mezuman of worms. And the future is that I'm going to have to give an accounting to explain why I messed my life up. And why is it that I cut myself short in such a way? So now, once we understand the two parts of this Mishnah, we can talk about, in a mature way, the Midah of Netzach. This Midah of Netzach. Netzach means that I live like every other person. I go to work, I eat, I sleep, I have a family. I do everything that everybody else does. But in that world of my mind and my heart, in the question of what my priorities are in life, what's important to me, what's the most important to me, I'm bound to nitzchias. Every single one of you knows the wonderful story of the Chafetz Chaim. We heard this, I heard this like in first grade, everybody's heard it a million times, where there was somebody who was visiting the Chafetz Chaim in Raden, and he was very upset. He comes into the Gadol Hador's house, and there's like old rickety broken table and chairs and no drapes, and it's very, very plain and so on. And the visitor asked the Chafetz Chaim, like, where's your furniture? Where's your stuff? And the Chafetz Chaim asked him, where's yours? Where's your furniture? Where's your stuff? So the man says, Rebbe, I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. This isn't my nitzchias. This isn't my permanent dwelling. I'm just passing through. So Chafetz Chaim said, same with me. This is not my nitzchias. This is not my permanent dwelling. I'm passing through. That's how the Chafetz Chaim lived. 90% of the stories of Gedolim follow this theme. I remember I used to go when I was younger. I went many times to Bnei Brak, to the Tish of the Yeshua's Moshe, or Moshe Levishnitz, Susi Elena, in Bnei Brak. And I remember I saw a biography of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, that there was a poor visitor that came, a guest that came to the Tish, and he was very excited. He wanted to reach over to the Rebbe to give shalom. And the Rebbe had a beautiful, in Vizhnitz they wear malchus. The Rebbe had a gorgeous new bekesha, beautiful new bekesha that he was wearing. And of course, you know what happened. is that the Eirich, the guest, was so excited to give Shalom to the Rebbe, he knocked over whatever food and wine and mezainis, you know, the whole Suda, he knocked over onto the Rebbe's new bakasha. And the man didn't know what to do. He just started to cry. And the visitor Rebbe smiled and said to him, a bakasha with a stain can be fixed by taking it to the machbesai veshah, to the dry cleaner, a bakasha with a stain. But when a neshama becomes stained, when the heart of a Jew, a mind of a Jew becomes stained, it's not so pasha to remove. That's what he said. These stories and a million other stories show us how the tzaddik lives in a mindset, in a world of nitzchias, of nitzchias. And when a person lives with that perspective of what is it that's going to be forever? In other words, what was before my life? May I and Bossy, where do I come from? How did this all begin? Where did I start? What's the beginning of my existence? If the beginning of my existence is a putrid drop, you'll excuse me, that's what it says in the Mishnah, Tipasurcha, if that's where I come from, then I can spend my entire life on that sugya of putrid drops. But if my sherish, if my root, my ayin basi is that I have a chelikal kamimal mamish on the shoma that's from the Kisya Kovi from the beginning, from before the beginning of time, then when you look at the putrid drops that are filling this world, the silliness of this world, you have a different perspective. You look at this world as Chai Yeshua, as like the Chavetz Chaim said, this is not my permanent dwelling place. This is not my place of nitzchias. So whenever you and I are tempted by the Yetzer Hara, essentially it comes down to that choice. What am I opting for? What is it that's most important? This, you got to keep on your, you have to mute the sounds. I hear stuff. This is a family.
Somebody's not muted over here. Every time
you have to make a choice, there's Yetzer Hara and there's Yetzer Tov. The Hakara of Nitzchias, if your mindset is May Ayin Basi, the first part of the Mishnah, it's a perspective of Nitzchias, of eternity, of foreverness, then you will be able to be empowered to be Menatzeach that moment of Chayisha. Because I have a Chaya Olam that I'm thinking about. The Chavetz Chaim was living in a world of forever. The Vision to Rebbe was living in a world of forever. A Bekesh is not part of forever. The soul is. So when I make that choice, should I do this Aveira or should I not do this Aveira? Rabbi Akavi ben Mahalal is saying, when you have that choice, if you're living in the Reisha, Ma'ayin Basti, I come from HaKadosh Baruch who's forever, Udvarach Malkein Emes. Kaim La'ad, that's where I come from, and that's the tachlis of my life, is Chai Olam, is forever. Then that awareness, that way of thinking, will give you that nitzchias perspective, will give you the koiches linatzeach, to be victorious in that choice that you make between Chai Shah, the moment of this, the life of this moment, where the Yetzer Hara is making me nuts, or Chai Olam, or something that's so much bigger than the Narishkeit, the cockness of the wine that got into my Bekesha, or a piece of furniture that I'm going to make myself a sugar on. It's so much bigger than that. So that's Aleph. A life of Nitzchias, a life of Netzach, that's the Midah of this week, makes a person's life into a life of Hoid Shubanetzach. A Dehoibana life. I think you all know Yiddish. I don't know if there's Svadim there, but all the Ashkenazim know. An elevated life. An uplifted life. A normal life. A family, eating. But it's not worth pushing some old lady on the and knocking her over the smorgasbord so I should get another piece of sesame chicken. Right? It's a matter of making choices. Of choices. It's nitzchias, or it's nothing, or it's a tipas rucha. Nitzchias, then I can be menatzeach this moment. I don't have to lose this moment. It could be a winning moment for me. I don't have to lose. I don't have to get angry because of something silly that happened. Someone took my seat in shul. Alavai, all right, everybody's wishing for that now. If you only were in shul, somebody could take my seat. So somebody took my seat in shul. I'm not davening back in this place. This is the third time that it happened. But you're here for 47 years. I don't get it. It's disgusting that no one said anything to defend my seat. No one saw that my flag is by my seat. I'm there for so many years. Are you a Mishuganer? No, you know, he's not a Mishuganer. You know what he is? Tipas Rucha. A Tipas Rucha. A Tipas Rucha. A clump of dirt that's eaten by worms. But if, like the Yeshua Smaish, the Chavetz Chaim, and all the other tzaddikim, and at our better moments, people even like me and you, we stop and we think, "What? This is such a tiny, silly little frame of something that's began long before this world and continues on all the way on forever past this world. Like, why lose?" And that gives the power, the person the power to even say, "That's Aleph." I need really another hour for this. I'll try to do it fast. Beis. There's another word in Hebrew that you all know. Let's just practice. Savlonis. Savlonis means tolerance, patience, resilience. That's the word savlonis. When I believe that this moment that I'm in right now in this world is not nitzchias, this is not my house, it's a sukkah. Now, you have some very rich people that want to make some sukkah, or like even some rabbis, that want to make the sukkah look like a house. But the Gemara says right away at the beginning of the Masechta that your sukkah is a divas aroi, it's a temporary dwelling, not a permanent dwelling. When you're in a situation and you know that this is not it, even if it's something which is 20, 30, 40 years. When a person's going through a difficult time and he has emunah, and he has a yediyah brewer, it's clear to him that this is only something for now, for the moment, for the month, for the year, but it's not the forever of who I am. And he's able to stop and say, Ma'ayin basi, la'an ani hoylech, l'fnei mi ani asa liten d'mecheshman. That gives him the koach of savlonis. That makes him into a person who's patient, who's resilient, who's able to roll with the punches. For instance, I'll take something from my life's experience from growing up in the home that I grew up in. So I grew up in a home that could be summed up with three words in the Torah, Vayhi Achrei HaMagefa. And it was after the Magefa, after the plague. Not COVID-19, not Corona, which has unfortunately caused death and suffering, of course. But for most of us, it's caused money problems, inconveniences, b'chulu. I grew up in a world of Ahi Achrei HaMagefa, of Auschwitz and Mauthausen. And Ahi Achrei HaMagefa, that time, after the end of the war, after the war ended, the darkness that the Sheiris had planted, that the survivors found themselves in, was unbelievable. There was a tremendous feeling of Yeyush, that whatever they had, certainly with Yiddishkeit, that whatever they had, that world that they had built up before with learning and with shuls and yeshivas and cheders and mikvahs, that world was completely finished. They felt, like Chazal described, how it was after the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died from that Magefa, that they died. Where it says in the Medrash Rabbah and V'yakel, in Kohelis, the Medrash Rabbah says, V'hoya ha'olam shomein. The world was desolate, was empty, was desolate. After the Holocaust, the survivors were tzibrochen of people, mamish tzibrochen of people. And if you would have told any of those survivors that in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, there are going to be hundreds, thousands of yeshivas and girls' schools, and they're going to be mikvahs, and they're going to be Jewish, beautiful Jewish homes and neighborhoods, communities and businesses, and Jews are going to be please mute your phone, Chavra. And they're going to be, and there's going to be like a Jared Kushner, you know, a Yid in the White House, and he's going to be the Adam from the President of the United States, and that Jews are going to have a country where they could fight back, where they could fight back. They don't have to lie down and let themselves get killed, but they are able to fight back. We're going to have our own army. If somebody would have told that to my father or my mother in 1943, when they were sitting over there in Auschwitz, they would have said to us, Mishigi and Ganson, you're altogether crazy. And after the war also, in 1945, there was nothing. V'haya ha'olam shamei. So how were my parents and your grandparents and some of your parents and relatives, how were they able to have the strength to be menatzeach? Because we were just reaping the rewards of what they built over these past 60, 70 years. That's what we were doing. So how did they have the strength to be menatzeach? How did they have the savlonas, the patience, the tolerance, the resilience? The resilience, not to back, not to jump back, to get back to work after being away from work for a couple of months. How's life going to continue post-COVID?
I'm going to go on Zoom with the other computer.
However, there are phones that are not used. I don't know. There's a family that
Daddy
keeps
needs to use his, so this one's going to become the host.
Oh, fine. I love this one either way, but whatever.
There are children that are talking. I can't even talk.
Stop it. It's good.
No, don't stop it, Kindle. It has to be on mute. Ruchim to you. So, how did they have that? How did they have the koiches to be menatzeach, to be victorious? Because at the end of the day, they weren't losers. They were victorious. My father was a winner. My uncle, my aunts, the ones that survived, the few that survived, my mother, they're winners. They're mamish winners. So the Teretz is, because despite everything, there were Jews that believed that Va'af gam zoyis b'yosim b'eretz ha'im lo yimastam v'legaltim l'chaloysim v'afribisi tam ken yeshem l'keyem. Which means that they believe in Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that the Jewish people, Am Yisrael Chai, means that there's a nitzchias to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are going to outlive Hitler Yimach Shemai, they're going to outlive Eichmann, they're going to survive. There's a nitzchias to the Jewish people. And when you believe in Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, when you believe in that, when you believe that what you're going through right now, 1945, the Holocaust is over. Your parents are dead. Your brothers and sisters are dead. You don't know what country is going to take you in. You don't know what you're going to do. You have no profession. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what it's going to be. You have nobody. Your friends are dead. You have nothing. From where does a Jew take his nitzachon? From where do you take the strength to win over that matzav? How do you win in that state of absolute emptiness, desolation, and loneliness? So those who did not believe, no one could blame them at all, chas v'chalila. But there were those who were not able to come back to that belief in what? That there's something beyond the Holocaust. There's something beyond the emptiness. There's a me'ayin basi. And la'an ani harlech, even if I have nothing in my world, I have the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have who I am. But if you were a person that your entire existence was what your entire existence was in Chaye Shah, in the life of this moment. The moment after the Holocaust ended was worse, Chever, than the Tipa Srucha of the Mishnah. It was worse than the putrid drop. It was worse than being buried in the ground with your dead relatives, because they told me, as my parents told me, they wish they would have been killed at that time when they were in the concentration camp. That would have been an easy way out. But now, by he achrei magefa, everything was over. And a chabgor nisht, I have nothing. And I'm also not allowed to kill myself because it's against halacha. So what am I going to do? So those who couldn't deal with that, because the chayei shah, the life of the moment, was so bitter. But then there were others who stopped and they said, there's something that came before the Holocaust, before I even came into the world. And there's something that's after this, after I leave the world, even if I'm going to die being alone, there's something after this. La'anani ha'ilech. There's something bigger than all of this. And that's why the Kushan of Magid used to say, by Hoshanas, Hoshanas Savelas Sivlach. Hoshanas Savelas Sivlach, that the Jewish people have Savlonis Hashem because of your Savlonis. And what that means is that we're saying, the Kushan of Magid said, Rabbi Shalom, you know how hard Golis is for us. And Rabbi Shalom, the Kushan of Magid said, you know that I have a way to bring Mashiach, to force Mashiach into the world now. But when I see that you feel that there's, that we need to wait longer, that this needs more time, and you're patient and you're saying that we have to wait, so I'll be Saivelas Sivlach. I'll wait together with you until the end. Today was the yard site. Now it's ending. It was the yard site of the Heilige Rav Shitzer, Yud Aleph. It was the Reb Naftali Tzvi Rav Shitzer. And you know, I'm sure that many of you know, that there was a big machlokes tzaddikim at the time of the war between Russia and France, Napoleon. It was a big machlokes. Then it was a historian to bring Mashiach at that time. And Mendel Rimenover believed that and they knew that there was going to have to be terrible dying and suffering, terrible dying and suffering in order for Mashiach to come. And Mendel Rimenover said that even if it means that the blood will be up to our knees, all the way he said from Rava to Lemberg will be up to our knees in blood, it's Kedai, just Mashiach should come. But the Rav Shitzer said no. The Baal Tanya said no. The Tzaddikim who disagreed with that. And the Tzaddikim who disagreed said that we're going to stick it out and wait until Mashiach comes. Mitoch rachamim gemurim. Mitoch rachamim gemurim. Or there was a mice that happened with a Yid that came to the Moreinai. And he was a Lamdan. He was from the Misnagdim. A very bright Talmud Chacham. And he came and he was sitting by the Moreinai. And the Moreinai was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to bring Mashiach because every Jew has to have a tikkun. Well, Yidach Mimena Nidach, there can't be one Jew who's not going to be brought back. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Savlonis because Hashem is waiting for every Neshama to come back to him. So the Misnagid said, isn't it Kedai that for a Neshama or two, the Mashiach should come so that the whole Jewish people should be saved with Mashiach so that Hashem shouldn't wait just for a couple of Neshama? So the Moreinai said, Ulai Zeus HaNeshama, he says, Ulai Zeus HaNeshama Shakash Baruch HaMachakela, maybe the Neshama that Hashem is waiting to do tshuva is your Neshama, my friend. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that's holding things back, that you haven't found the tikkun yet. And if Hashem is not going to let go of you because he wants you to come back to him. Mashiach will come when Hashem is ready, and Mashiach will come when I'm ready. This way of living, this way of thinking, Netzach, Hoyt Shubin Netzach, is not only for the Jewish people, but Chlal. It means for each and every one of us individually. Each one of us individually means that I believe Be'emunah Shleima, that even though I've made mistakes, and even though I might have to go through difficulties, and whatever it might be in this world, the next world, I believe Be'emunah Shleima, Shehanetzach Sheli, that the end of my story is Amach Kulam Tzedikim L'Olam Yeshuaretz. That the end of my story is I'm going to be back with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That the end of my story is Hoyd Shubinetzach. That the end of my story is that all the promises that the Nevi made to the Jewish people, that's from Moshe also. And the Gemara says in Brachos, L'chashem Agdula V'agruah V'atvesh V'anetzach, V'anetzach Zu Yerushalayim. And therefore I believe that even though I'm a Rasha, and even though I made mistakes, and even though I had to do tshuva, but the Netzach of my life, the end of my life, the nischius of my existence is what? Yerushalayim. Not Woodenmere. Not Far Rockaway. Not Borough Park. Not Monroe. The end is Vanetzach Zu Yerushalayim. So I told the guys in Shul that I was zayich, my wife and I was zayich a few months ago to be in Yerushalayim. We went to visit the grave of Rabbi Levine, the tzaddik from Yerushalayim. And I'm sure that many of you know, the Rabbi instructed that on his matzeiv, on his tombstone, it should be written, Ani mevakish mekol mi sheyavo l'shateach al kivri, that I'm asking, I'm requiring, that any Jew who comes to visit my grave, he should say, Pem ole, he should say, Ani mamim b'mun shleima, in chiyas ha-meisim, the dead will come back to life. So I saw in a sefer that there was a Holocaust survivor who came back, and he lost everything, and the years were going by, and he just couldn't come back to himself. And already many years had passed since the Holocaust, and he still felt that he just couldn't come back to himself. And he ended up visiting the grave of Rabbi Levine, and he was there. And he saw the Matzeva Bari Levin, and he said with his mouth, I believe Bemun Shleim and Tchias Amesim. And he kept on saying it. Ani Mam Bemun Shleim and Tchias Amesim. Ani Mam Bemun Shleim and Tchias Amesim. And he had tremendous chaskis. And afterwards he told his friends that from here I learned that it is possible for Tchias Amesim to take place even while I'm still alive. Even while I'm still alive, it's possible for Tchias Amesim to take place. That's called Hoyd Shebenetzach. To come back to life, because I believe that this is not all there is to life. I believe in Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakeh. Hashem Yisbarach should help us to continue on. We're going to get past this very soon, and we're all going to head to Yerushalayim, the Gulus of Amit.